It is 7:01 on April 24th, 2024. I hereby open this meeting of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton. Adequate notice of this meeting has been provided in accordance with the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act. On April 19th, 2024, a copy of this agenda was sent to the Hunterdon County Democrat, posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building, and made available to the public on the township's website. Would you please all join me in a salute to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Councilman Lister?
Here.
Councilman Phillips?
Here.
Mayor Millay?
Here.
And Council President Strauss and Councilman Strauss.
Very good. We will now open the first comment session. This is comments from the public for items listed on the agenda only, not any of the public hearings, please. So the budget or any of the ordinances that are on for public hearing, please hold comments until that time. Is there anybody who'd like to come make a comment about something on the agenda? Come on, folks. Come on down. You were the only one to raise your hand.
Okay. Walter Wilson, 3 Heather Hill Way, Lebanon, Clinton Township. Just a quick status question on the inconsistency that still exists between the master plan and the unadopted ordinance. Are we
gonna so this isn't on the agenda, but I'll let you answer the question.
We're working on it, Walter. We're working on it. I swear we're working on it. A few open points we really try to nail down.
Okay.
I'm only committed to soon, because every time I say a date, I don't make it. So soon, we're really
but we're shooting, I think, 2 points. Shooting for a May introduction.
We are shooting for that. I need to meet with the subcommittee, and hopefully we introduce it, goes back to the planning board, comes back here.
So you got to go back to the planning board with it first? And
no, I think it comes here first.
Because you got to introduce first and then go back to the planning board.
Depending on the changes, I'll wait for the council to apply that.
Yes,
and
that's the planning board.
But that's my point. It starts here.
It starts here. We'll start here. So, but
thank
you. All right, thanks. You're follow-up.
I appreciate to know that it's going forward and that hopefully this year we'll see it.
Yes.
That was the roll with the eyes.
The wheels of government turn slowly.
Okay, I'm going to ask a question now, which is, can I make a quick comment because I really have to be at another meeting?
Sure, very quick.
It's on the ordinance, on the tree ordinance, tree removal ordinance.
What do you think?
I'll make it. It's real short, and it's not really point specific.
So we can't consider it for purposes
of
a public hearing.
That's all right. I can give you my short rant about it anyway.
Very quickly.
I understand that council feels you need to do this for the DEP related to the stormwater issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I like to think that, or not I like to think, I hope you give some thought to whether the existing provisions in the design standards really satisfy the ordinance. I'm assuming the ordinance that you have is the model ordinance that DEP put together. I've read them
it's
both
modified.
And it looks like it.
It's modified. Yep.
It's modified slightly. At least it doesn't say the police can come out and issue summonses for it, which the model one did. I have a real problem with the state with their process of doing model ordinances or regulations. They did it with a lot of the farmland stuff as well, and they subcontracted out to college students, and then they just take it and say, okay, here's our model. Looks to me like that's what they did here, because there are a lot of future problems I see with that. I would just ask you to keep in the back of your head that maybe your existing ordinance satisfies them for now. I know there's a May 1st deadline, which I'm not sure what happens if you don't meet that. But
duly noted. Yep.
Yeah. So, I think you'll probably get a lot of pushback when people start having to get visited by the zoning officer and pay fees.
Okay. Also, you realize this should have been held for public comment.
I'm sorry?
These comments should have been held for public comment.
I know, but I have to be someplace else, and unfortunately, I know you're going to adopt it anyway, and I'm not complaining about that.
Yep. I understand. But thank you.
Think about it for the future, maybe.
Yep.
Thanks, and good night.
Anybody else for public comment for items? Whatever. Nothing? All right. We'll move now to our next matter of business, which is we're going to skip the minutes because I hadn't had a chance to review this last set. So we'll go to the Board of Health, and we'll adjourn as the mayor and council at 7:06, and reconvene as the Board of Health. Mr. Hoffman, we've seen you before for this one, I think, as well.
I was here for this one once before, yes. So we're modifying the design slightly. During the start of the construction phase, we encountered water that we did not encounter during the soil level testing phase, so we had to modify the design. And in modifying the design, we've relocated it from the back right of the property to the back left of the property, which changed our distance from disposal bed to our well. The previous application I was here for a couple months ago, we had asked for a 67-foot, I believe it was, distance to the well. There's a reduction from the 100. In this particular case, we're going to reduce it once again to 54 feet from the well to the disposal field. I want to add that we have also modified the design to incorporate an ATU. So we have pretreatment on this system, which previously we did not. So this is a better situation with reduction in the well also. So everything else stays the same. We're still doing the coliform test. We'll provide the testing when everything is said and done. It's just, again, a change in dimension from well to bed.
And you have no issue with any of the conditions set forth in the letter that was submitted by the county engineers?
Correct.
Board of Health, yeah. Off the top. All right, that was the question I was going to ask. What? Why'd we move it? So you've answered. And in your professional opinion, there's really no better solution.
This is the best way to do it, and I'm glad that we caught it when we did.
Good. Okay. In that case, I will make a motion for the waiver with said conditions from the letter.
Okay.
And we have a roll call.
Councilman
Gleason?
Yes.
Councilman
Sutton?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Very good. Thank you very much. We'll reconvene now as the mayor and council. And we'll move to a very full consent agenda. Anybody have anything they'd like to remove from the consent agenda? I'll just read this statement quick. The items listed below are considered to be routine by the mayor and council and will be enacted by a single motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless requested by the mayor, council member, or member of the public, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and voted on separately. Anybody else want to have anything pulled off the consent agenda? Seeing nothing, may I have a motion, please?
Second.
Roll call. I keep wanting to ask Christine to call the roll now.
Councilman?
Yes.
Councilman?
Yes. Just for fun, I should do that. We'll go on to reports. I know mine will be brief.
Mine will be mostly brief, but I do have some stuff that I don't want to talk about. Planning board will be on Monday, May 5th. I attended a couple Highlands meetings last week. They adopted the pending warehouse and land use capability map for amendments that were out there, so those were duly adopted. They have also released the affordable housing RMP amendment, and the wording literally just came out this afternoon, so I don't have a chance to glance at it. But that's the one, and I'm going to quote what they've said, because they've said it better than I could, to clearly and concisely summarize the applicable goals, policies, and objectives in the MRP that apply to affordable housing development for conforming communities like us, and to update the various goals, policy objectives to fit with the requirements of the new law. So it's you know, you argue it's technical, but it is. Ben Spinelli, the executive director, is clear. It's not allowing themselves to dodge the obligations, but to ensure the obligations are properly sized and located within the items. So it's balancing the affordable housing mandate against the water protection mandate. They will be releasing a how-to document, the Highlands Affordable Housing Implementation Report in September, as well as the housing credit, the Affordable Housing Grant Program and build-out instructions, which will report to us in September. So they're coming before the DCA calculations, but not wildly before. So we can do some work at events, but these will be key documents to us. I also attended the virtual kickoff of the local implementation meeting for the Local Safety Action Plan. This is where the county, primarily the county, also the New Jersey, North Jersey Transportation Planning Authority, are partnering to develop a plan to address critical safety needs to reduce fatalities and serious injuries caused by traffic. And the win for us is, by participating, the county and the municipalities get to access the safety implementation grants under the new Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, and that's going to be about $1 billion a year for 5 years. So if the county didn't have a plan, we'd be ineligible. Obviously, we want to be eligible because hopefully it's some money. And then secretly, I hope, with having the township there, they're going to do some demo projects. If we get a demo project, maybe we talk about regional level or something where we think, I want to talk to the chief and his team about safety areas that we might target, and then we'll see if we get from it. Sewage Authority meets next Thursday at the 9th in person and virtually at their new 8:30 time. Finance Committee, we'll talk about the budget later. That's all I have.
Excellent. Councilwoman Switley.
Open space met March 28th. The hunting ad was put in the newsletter. I don't know if anybody got it. I don't get it at all. So orientation dates are July 9th and July 16th at Blount Park. There's some things that I briefly talked to Bill. We still need the waiver release form. We need, will the police be doing the background checks? So I think you're going to be having a meeting at some point. The call-in number, if you just spoke about. I think that's pretty much it. So basically, this ad went in the newsletter, and we don't have anything to give to Lindsay to update because of these pending items. So I sent an email just this afternoon to Brian, you, and
I think the waiver Tom may have sent. Tom Sylvia, I think.
Tom Sylvia sent it.
I need to look at.
All right. So it would be, we sort of need it like updated on the website because people are going to see the ad click and it's going to be like,
Trisha's going to let you know that the waiver.
I
spoke to the chief. We're going to set up a meeting as we just spoke about, and I spoke to Tom briefly about with the chief. Just so he and Mr. Versa and Tom can go over the various things that they're looking at as part of the program implementation, the phone number, so it'll be recorded in the CAD system as people check in and out, the hunters, and Tom can look at the other things relative to the role he and the department will play in the background checks, and any other, the identification card, which is something else you talked about. Those things he'll address in that meeting with Mr. Versa, Mr. Sylvia, and whoever he designates from the department.
So I guess we can move along with that then. I know Mike and Tom Silver are going to reach out as far as updating that website to your, I guess, does Anna do it now? The Les is looking at the 5K layout, just trying to figure out where to cross for the cross-country team and figure out where the playground's going. So they had a meeting and they're just
figuring
that out.
They had a meeting with Tom, I hope.
I have a layout, but it's all scribbled up. Okay, we also went over, and keep in mind this is a quarterly meeting, so I have a few things. Prioritizing what open space wants with the DPW. So there's like 10 items. Obviously, that's a wish list, and every member prioritized what they need. The Beehive is one, which I think Jay is working on with Mario. But the maintenance of the trails, Michael Versa had gone over to Prospect East just to make sure he's making sure all the hunting stands are down. It's not even walkable. I mean, the trees are down. If Michael Versa can't walk it, I mean, if we can't maintain these things, then we might as well just shut them down.
That's early in the season, too, I would think, right?
It's not walkable. So at any rate, everybody on the committee agreed that just the general maintenance of these properties are for one or two on the priority list.
Have we prioritized the trails for maintenance too?
Yes. That's
so
at the bottom of the list is like disc golf tee pads.
Right. No, all the trails, there's certain properties more important. It's like Kramer's Creek more important across that.
Okay, but I'm not saying everything. I know people that utilize every single one.
It's a matter of timing that with
resources.
Yes. Okay. Farmers contracts are on here. If I missed it, I apologize, but I had wanted to, or we discussed, having a, I don't care if it's a post-it note, when they're spraying, because they said they're going to spray in the contracts, to just have a post-it note or a sign on the kiosk saying, we are spraying, because there's residents that were upset last year. It was just sprayed, it was wet, their dog is moved. So I don't know how we can add that to, because I read them all.
Right, and it wasn't in there. One option is you put in the contract, the other is we just deal with it administratively.
I think that's the
Hackett's was the main one last year.
Yeah, let's do it administratively.
Okay.
Because I don't, I mean, there's no issue.
I mean, you could literally say between like a 2-week span, so it's not holding the farmer to an exact date.
Because of weather and all that.
That kind of thing.
So if you're comfortable just dealing with it in the street.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to do other than that. There's not that many properties. You could get the information. You could also post it on the website in addition to doing that, which will help advise people. You don't have to go there and look, but it's an additional way to get the information communicated to folks, so hopefully they can be aware before they utilize the facilities.
Just a heads up. The other thing that we talked about at our meeting, which has been a long-standing issue with security and people breaking the rules on open space properties, Billy, I think you came up with this idea, didn't you? God bless you. What we're hoping to do is have a letter with our property rules for each property and send it to how you want with a planning board or an application where it's 200 feet back or somewhere adjacent to the properties. Not only will it tell the people that live there what the rules are, but it'll also make them know what the rules are. If they see someone breaking one of the rules, they can contact the police department. I think we were probably all in agreement that that was a good way to try to address the issues we're having on our open space properties. I know it would probably be an administrative cost to send letters out or something like that, but...
Nominal cost.
So
you're only talking the adjacent properties.
Just the adjacent properties.
And
I don't want to. I don't want to do something where it's accusing people of doing wrong things. It's just to make them aware.
So yeah, this would be strictly information. It would be crafted in a way to say,
if you have a concern, here's a number to call.
Exactly. It would be crafted simply in that vein.
We can, sure, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that with edits afterward, of course.
Yeah.
But they use first draft.
And Jeff's accustomed to pulling a 200-foot list. I think that's pretty easy.
Yeah.
That process is pretty perfunctory in terms of what you're looking at. That's not a heavy lift in any sense.
Yeah. I mean, like, for instance, at Windy Acres, we have that new neighbor. He doesn't necessarily know the rules. He just moved in. If he saw somebody doing something and he had those rules, he would know to call the police department. So, thank you for that suggestion.
Okay. We got to try something.
Yeah.
That seems the simplest.
Yes.
Easiest.
The Green Team met April 16th. Our next meeting is May 21st. We're going for the silver next year, but we're going to try to submit all the stuff, all the points that we can do during the course of the year. We can just bank it and then submit at the end. We have, this is EC too as well. We have the cleanup. On May 4th, it's a 9:00 start. This is what we did last year with base camp. We have a lot of giveaways. We have the maps of all the areas in the township that you are allowed to pick the litter up on. So we only have 35 registered, so we're gonna try to push maybe an email blast to try to get people to come out. Community Day, EC's gonna be
$2 ad in Facebook.
Well, yeah, right. and also Community Day, we're going to have native seeds. We're also going to have a water testing tent right next to us. So that's it.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. The Rec Committee met last Monday. I was not able to attend. But as Councilwoman Spitlick mentioned, Community Day is Saturday, 2:00, hoping for some good weather. Knock on some wood. It is. And after last year, we could use it. And obviously the race, country run race earlier that morning. And then personnel-wise, we've got some interviews going on for different positions. Hopefully we'll have some coming forward in the next couple of meetings to fill some spots in the DPW and Public Works.
Yes.
Public Works and Police Department.
And Police Department.
And that is all for me. Anything anyone else would like to add? Christine, I know you'll just wait for the budget. You bring the projector.
I have a very short report.
Oh.
Coral Jericho Road, if you'll recall, got a nice date in from Mr. Myers. It was scheduled to post tomorrow morning.
Oh, excellent.
I just signed the paperwork. I forgot that wasn't necessarily reported the last time. Anything on old municipal
board? The post will come soon.
Don't ask me questions about the old municipal building. You know the jinx.
Okay.
It's the building we shall not talk about until we have...
But we're hopeful.
I'm not hopeful anymore. Mr. Close, anything else? We're good?
Well, I'm just going to touch on Mr. Meyer, the closing tomorrow for 40 recovery. I think that's great. Nice to see that come to fruition, Community Day. And then before I forget, an early happy birthday to Councilman Switnick, because tomorrow, April 26th, is her birthday.
Excellent. All right. Anybody else? Chief, you're good?
Okay. I don't want to scare you. We had our meeting the other day, so.
Yeah. And we did meet with the with the chief, council president Strauss, and I, and the administrator 2 days ago. Took care of some few items. All right. In that case, we will move on to our first public hearing, and this is a resolution adopting the 2024 municipal budget. I would ask that maybe Councilman Glazer kick it off and then throw it to Christine for any of the technical questions that we may have.
I will.
I have a list.
Obviously, to the mayor and Mr. Close and Christine, because they'll chime in. I do all comments and stuff, and if I get them wrong or forget something, please correct me. We did talk about the adjustment a little bit last time. We do believe it's a very responsible budget and an appropriate budget for the township. Obviously, we wouldn't have introduced it otherwise. The administration spent a ton of time on it, and sort of participated in the mayor, so we've been through it. I think the highlights to me are that we're growing our rainy day fund a little bit. What I define is the surplus we're not using as part of the annual budget. It grows to about $1.7 million in this budget. I would tell you in my heart, I believe that number over the few coming years needs to double for a township our size, but it's grown nicely in the past few years. We just need to keep our financial discipline doing that. And this budget accomplishes that, while also handling, I think, the priorities of the township. Again, when we talk about the municipal budget, it's 17% of our tax bill, 67% of your tax bill are school taxes. That would be other people we need to talk to about that. Ours is the 17%, and that's could have been at that level for years. The county is the remainder of about 15%. I think the headline figure, well, I'll come to the headline at the end, I guess. I'll come to the headline at the beginning, because the headline is my very lead. And we talked about this in introduction. The municipal tax rate, we're proposing going from 4.774 to 0.5 even. That's a 4.73% increase. On the average house in the township, about $400,000 is a $90 per year increase, which I think is $7 a month or $8 a month. And so we understand it's not trivial, but we need to put that in context. I have two things I would say about that. It's hard to compare one municipality to another municipality because there's different levels of service going on and all of that, but nonetheless, I do it anyways because it's what I do. And I think I've always said in my mind our closest comparable would be renting to township. Our average tax bill last year, because we only have 23 numbers from the DCA, was about $1,900. There's close to $2,300. So you do look at your peers when you look at your tax rates and say, well, how do you stand? And the average house is one way of looking at it. Another way of looking at it, but I would say it that way, is people compare tax rates. That's fraught with peril, because that has to do with the assessments in the town and all of this. The DCA publishes helpfully equalized tax rates, where they take into account the differences in assessments. And we are smack dab in the middle of that table for Hunterdon County. But the 26 municipalities, I think we're number 13 or 14, whether you look at the local or the total, kind of, I would say, where we would want to be as a responsible town. There are some of the very rural towns that are quite low. There are other ones that are quite high. Some of the boroughs, in particular, which level service is very different. We're looking at a 4% increase in the tax levy. Again, it's a little bit different than the municipal tax rate because of the assessments and how that changed from year to year. And I think the big change we had was we had one property go from fully taxable to partly taxable. It's got an exemption under state law. Revenues are, I would say, I think they're down slightly. I've got to remember. The construction fees are a driver. Construction fees vary from year to year depending on activity in the township. And in my corporate job, I would have been able to budget with abandon. In the municipal world, we don't. We're a little more cautious about that. So we hope for more, but we budget conservatively for construction fees. We did benefit, like the whole entire United States, for higher interest income. and invest our money where appropriate. We do have an in and out of some shared service revenue where we're taking in the local, the SROs, the local school district, and then that goes out as an expense. So it grosses up the numbers, but doesn't impact the numbers. We're using a little bit more of the surplus from than we did last year, 1.2 to 1.3 million. But again, the rainy day fund is going from about 1.6 to 1.7, which I hope we can continue to use in the future. Appropriations, again, it increased 3.3%, and I'm excluding that shared service gross up I just mentioned because it kind of muddies the number. One important increase, we increased the capital number. It's about 1.48, I believe, in this budget. That's an increase of about $200,000 from last year. It's good that we can do that. I'll come back. I'll talk to the key figure in that. But investing capital is important. I think we paid, as a township, short change for that over some years. So capital was buying all our equipment, doing our roads, playgrounds, all the other good stuff that we need. Pension with Social Security going up, that's sort of a number we get from the state, but it's not insignificant. That's over $100,000. It's a lot of money for a township our size. We do have some salary increases, mainly for our contractual staff, the Interpolice, the Public Works Department. There's some contractual things happening. Public safety is our biggest single line item we can talk about. I mean, probably when you add in the pension and Social Security, it's over 30% of our budget. I think it's 33% of our budget is for public safety, which it should be in this value because that's one of our key jobs. Public safety is the police, the courts, fire prevention, I think. So on capital, again, almost $1.5 million budget in the year, about $1.1 million for roads. That includes some grants to do Eurofield and Heather Hill.
And Glen Eagles. Merrifield, Glen Eagles, Heather Hill.
And then we're carrying more money from prior years to the roads, so we have a decent road budget. I would tell you we have 112 miles of roads in the township, so it's a lot of roads to do. So we will continue trying to do that in future years. A new vehicle for the police department, equipment for the public works, equipment for our department. We've gone through and identified but literally a long list of capital that's there. And then the roads, again, we talked about Glen Eagle and Heather Hill and Merrifield. Last year we did a lot. I think we did a good job with roads in 2023.
We've made a lot of progress. We have more to go. For sure. More to go.
Because once we're done, we're
more to go.
Always more to go. We did also do the capital fund. I think it's important. A down payment on the inclusive playground we talked about by the affordable housing, by the Clinton's affordable housing unit. So you recall the estimate for that was about $1.4 million. We've applied for state grant for about $700,000, $750,000. We put aside half of the money the township should be responsible for in 24, the other half hopefully will come in 25. If we don't get the grant, we have to go back and reconsider what we do and how we do it. But
yeah, and there may be other sources available too.
Exactly. So we'll go look at that. But we did put a down payment, and that's in the $1.5 million of capital. So I think we've handled a lot in the capital fund, actually. Open space has its own thing. Remember, we assess 2 cents for open space. That goes for half it. We could spend up to half of it, but we don't spend half of it on maintaining the trails, maintaining parks, doing other maintenance, spend stickers, what have you, maybe letters, probably. And then the remainder is set aside for the trust for potential land acquisition. So we'll continue to look at those.
I think we're over $1 million now, right?
In the trust. Yeah. And it does have some debt service, which is still remaining from the Windy Acres acquisition.
Right. I think it's less Windy Acres now and more Maruki and
Telco. Oh, you're right. Yeah. I think it's about less than two on one and two is another coach. We've talked about this priorities. Our net debt went down again, which is good. We peaked back in 2009 above $30 million. We're down to about $13.4 million. So it's a big reduction. And that's actually allowed us the flexibility to fund more capital and do other things since we're not paying debt service. Someday we'll have a conversation about that. When we incur more to do stuff or not, there's pluses and minuses to it. But right now, the good thing is we're paying it down, and that gives the township pretty financially stable.
And that was on the website.
It's going to be on the website.
Okay. I think I sent it in.
It might be there today.
Yeah,
it might be
up.
I think it might have been up there today. What's the RFS?
Well, you did a great job, Councilman Hager. First,
only because I'm trained well by the CFO.
I would love to take credit, but I can't. So first, I want to thank our CFO, Christine McCullough, for all her hard work. She did a tremendous job. Councilman Glazer, as well as Councilman Kachinowski, the mayor, working with Councilman Swetnick and Councilman Strauss on this. The budget, I think, is very responsible fiscally for the township and allowing you to maintain and services to the community at the same time. Expansion with some personnel, with new equipment for departments. Again, there were many years where those things weren't, you weren't able to keep pace with for a variety of reasons. There's been a conscious effort on the part of Mayor Mullane and the council to try to begin the process of making sure that you have proper equipment and all the staffing and replace it. So, you know, for your workers, which I think is very, was necessary and needed. In terms of the overall budget, as you said, average assessed on $402,000, 16.9% of the total projected tax rate. So, you know, for everybody who's in, for every dollar you give the township, 17 cents of it goes to the town for all your various services, which are roads, police, public safety, tax, construction, permits, inspections. So I think that's a really very appropriate number given the level of service that's provided. In addition to which, you know, you looked at your overall budget from 2023 to 24, you're up about $600,000. Councilman Glazer touched on the highlights, you know, predominant increases with capital. Your police has to double your health and liability insurance, pension, Social Security. Well, that accounts for the bulk of it. These are, you know, most of these are statutory items and consistent with what you have. Your tax collection rate is 98.8%. That's an outstanding rate. I compliment your tax collector, Patty, Central Bonnie, for all her work. Your fund balance grew again this year, you know, incrementally. But again, you've had, like, for the third year, what I see is incremental growth in the fund balance. And as I say, it's not surplus, it's fund balance, because it's not excess money. It's money, it's fund balance to help you provide for necessary operational costs and emergency needs that may arise. So I think that's very, it's a prudent action on the part of the township, the council, and the community to you know, begin to accumulate a pot of money that's reasonable in terms of your overall operational costs. Much as you wage your house for your own, you know, have a savings account, if you will. You have to have money for things that can't be anticipated or to, you know, handle your monthly expenses, yearly expenses. In terms of your assessments, it's important to note that this your taxes and this rate, you were able to keep it at the level you did. And not so much on percentages, but in terms of your overall assessment, your assessed value this year went down by $1,464,500. So you're able to keep, even despite a loss of ratable base, you're able to keep your increase at a level consistent with what you did in 2023. I think that's important. It shows how hard you know, the council worked to keep that, still keep services, and did that with that loss of ratable base. And I see sometimes people talk about percentages. I was glad Councilman Glazer talked about this overall increase on an average assessed home. It's $91.33, a little over $7 a month, or $7.50, as you talked about. That's more telling to me than somebody who says a percent, because I read some articles where people said, oh, there could be a reduction in the rate. Yet, when you go down the article further, or other towns' presentations, their actual amount of their tax increase went up over what it was the prior year, even though the rate is down, because the assessment went up. It allowed them to reduce the rate, but the amount that's being paid is more. Yours is a more straightforward amount based on your ratable base and your tax rate. It's very realistic, and I think it's very prudent given what you've attempted to do in terms of road improvements and made a more conscious effort to do that this year, which I know is an important thing, Mayor, for you and for the council as a whole. So I think it's responsible, and please answer any questions from any of you or public about it.
We'll start here. I don't have any, but Bill certainly doesn't have any. Okay. We'll open the public hearing. You'll have to come up. Just your name and the township in which you live. We don't need addresses or anything like that.
I'm not sure if this is what I'm going to say is related to what I heard.
Go ahead. Just you just need to identify yourself, your name, and.
My name is Anna Gregorian. I live in Clinton Township, Fort Bush Court, Clinton, Fox Fire. And I was just hearing about you. Our taxes, I don't know if tonight is the night. I mean, I can shut up and come back next time if you say so. That's why. The only reason I'm here is because every time I drive my road, Austin Hill, and I see the debris around, you know, the trees fallen, broken, the weeds grown. I know you don't pay association to my neighborhood. But every time I drive by there, we lived there for 30 years, and that road has not been paved since we moved in. And every year, trust me, with all due respect, I see the car there, you know, trucks come, and they feel the
puddles.
Yeah. It is pathetic. I wish they would not do that. It's so ugly. I mean, I literally, when I have guests coming, it's like, oh my God. And we pay $15,000 a year for taxes, and I'm always on time, always. We pay our taxes on time. You're a good neighbor. And I look at my road, and I'm like, am I living in Clinton? Broken trees.
So
it's so bad. It's
so
really bad.
The broken tree, I think Jay was looking into that. I didn't know if he'd taken care of it, DPW.
Yeah, I don't know the outcome of determining whether it was his removing it.
Right. I think he was looking at, to be honest, I think on that particular one, they were doing some title research.
I think the question was the ownership.
Right.
Where the property, where it was actually his responsibility.
Yeah. We do have our engineer here. He's right there in the tie. But what I would say is the engineer and the public works director every year do an analysis of all the roads, and then we look at that, we compare it with the budget that's available, the traffic as well on those roads. I will say this, and you can correct me, Larry, if I'm wrong. Austin Hill is on the list for sometime in the next couple, 3 years.
Yeah. Couple, 3 years?
We have 112 miles of roads. At the time.
You would, I hate to admit this, but there are worse roads than Austin Hill.
So two different
things. One is we're making, and we have made in the last few years, considerable progress on some of that road backlog, and we're really going to do more this year. The other is for your tax bill. I would just point out it's in the presentation. You can give it to her if you want. So of that 15,000, we're a fraction of the total that you pay.
So I mean, I'll make a comment.
Please,
I mean,
go ahead.
It's only one house. I'm the only person. How many homes do we have? 30, 35 homes? How much taxes do they pay per year? Is it not enough to just pay once in 30 years?
Well, but again, there's 4,000 households in the township, 112 miles of roads. Some of which I've got to ask you, we're neglected over the years. The neighborhood I used to live in, 50-year-old neighborhood, never been paved. It's going to be paved someday. So there's a lot of deferred maintenance we're trying to catch up with. And all I can do is apologize and say, Austin, oh, Mayor and I talked about that road specifically. We are super aware of the issue, we're sympathetic, but there's simply not enough money to do all the roads we want to do. With 112 miles of roads, it'd be 30, 40 million.
And the final list isn't quite yet set because there's some shifting going on based on water main upgrades that are having to be done. So
you coordinate. I think the road in question she's talking to, I think you tentatively planned for 2026.
That's correct.
I think you have
that's what I said.
At this point, of almost $120,000 just to build an overlay.
It's
almost half a mile long, 30 feet wide.
Yeah, it's on my road.
So that's not the curb sidewalk.
And just that, you're going to do Bush too, right?
Well, for us, it's very difficult. I mean, that, and also, who's going to take care of the broken trees on the sides? I know it doesn't block the road. I understand. But can someone clean it up?
Public Works is looking at the one. If there's something on the other, we'd have to look and see if that's a zoning issue.
My opinion, as long as it's within the right of way, and those are things I'll have Jay look at.
Yeah.
Sure.
again, it's a problem throughout the county. The broken trees, the ash trees, the early day are falling all over the place. It's horrendous. I take your point completely.
Thank you so much. I mean, you drive, you see the buildings, and then you see the trees, and the car is just moving like this, and I'm like, where am I?
Talk about the growth program just a little bit. We are going to implement more of a preservation program. We're going to slot some of that money to do a sealing program to extend the life of the roads. Instead of doing the old train of thought was you do the road and kind of leave it until it gets so bad you got to fully redo it. If you can invest a little bit of money on a slurry seal or a micropave, but you could extend the life and you get more bang for your buck on some of the roads. So you try to have an overall percentage of your roads at a higher liability, better condition by doing a preservation program.
And that's required us building up some cash to be able to have the ability to do that flexibly.
Sure, capital. Because you have a, as you said, 112 roughly miles of roadway. And Larry talked about it. We've talked collectively, you have about developing a roadway program. You've begun that. Unfortunately, there were a number of years where there wasn't a plan in place. You have one. You now have funding you're trying to put in place to accommodate that. I mean, there's a variety of numbers about what the costs for roadways are. Larry can speak to this better than I can, but I there was a prior DOT report that said the cost was roughly $191,000 per mile. So if you did 112 miles of roadway, and that's numbers probably 2 or 3 years old. I've seen different numbers that said it's 183,000 it's 183. I mean, it depends on what metric you use.
Right.
And there's a number of factors that Larry can talk about to go into the road, whether it's a full construction, whether which could be up to a million per mile, or whether you're just doing, as I said, an overlay, a patch, a ceiling. So there's different metrics that they go through. Some will say it's 183,000 per lane, per mile, which is a whole other number. So again, there's a variety of factors you look at, but any of those metrics at 112 miles, and you have a number of roads that require attention, it's a significant cost. Your budget doesn't allow for it. It would require you to, beyond that, it would require significant debt. You'd have to go into significant debt to begin that process.
That has to be repaired.
Which squeezes out other
spending. And that precludes other things, so you have to decide the balance of that.
And I know compared to previous years, we are trying to implement more road projects with the county co-op program, which cuts down on salt costs to try to use the money for construction, to try to eliminate the need to go out to public bid. And the county has been receiving more grants. Historically, in the past, or in the county, your town would get funding from the state local aid office every other year. Probably in the last 5 years, we've seen that every year. So that also helps.
So we're going to continue to work on it.
Okay, so 2026, I'm expecting a new paving.
This is the danger of giving you a year.
No, okay.
I think that's a safe. Honestly, I think that's safe. That one, I think, is safe.
Right.
If not sooner.
But you clean up the side.
That's something that's with DP, with Public Works, and we'll take it as an action to follow up and see where they're at with it.
Okay, and also the neighborhood, Willows, the children, the youngsters, they come out.
So this is just about the budget.
Oh,
yeah. So you can come back in a little bit and we can talk about that, or you can catch me after the fact.
No, that's fine. Okay, I think this is more important.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. We appreciate you coming out because, as you see, we don't get it often, and it's... This dialogue helps, I think. Anyone else wish to make a comment about the budget? All right, well, before we make a motion, I just again want to thank the Administrator Close, for all your work, all the department heads, the Finance Committee, because I know I've done it. I know what it's like. More of you guys, and especially Ms. Licata, just for coming out tonight. Well, and the department head. That's right. Larry's not a department head. And the engineer.
Our engineering department head. He is now.
Yeah, that's
He's
true.
Our engineering department.
So, in that case, I will make a motion to adopt. Maybe you have a roll call, please. Ms. McCall.
Councilman Leifer.
Yes.
Councilman Sutler.
Yes.
Mayor Miller.
Yes. All right, thank you very much. We'll move next to an ordinance for first hearing introduction. This is the next three ordinances, the two that are for adoption and this are all interconnected. We have a lot going on to state mandated stormwater management requirements and model ordinances and thou shalt do this, which we do push back on gently, but it is what it is. So the first is the introduction of ordinance number 1197-2024, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton in Hunterdon County, New Jersey, modifying the stormwater management requirements for major developments and amending Chapter 165 land use regulations of the Code of the Township of Clinton. Questions, comments? Very good. Hearing none, may I have a motion to introduce? Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Sullivan?
Yes.
Mayor Glenn?
Yes. Ms. Cecil, is there a required date by which we need to adopt said ordinance?
Correct me if I'm wrong, Larry. I want to say July 1. We've got some time.
I think it was
May. No, the stormwater?
The stormwater.
No, the other two are May 1. I think this one's the one.
May I propose then that we set the adoption hearing, the public hearing, for May 22nd?
Yeah.
I think that's sufficient time.
Yeah.
I don't want to rush it if we don't have to rush it. So without objection?
Yes.
Done. Next, we'll move on to two public hearings. So, I just want to make a note. The first is a public hearing for ordinance number 1195-2024, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton regulating the storage of salt and other solid de-icing materials on private properties, consolidating existing section required for MS4 municipal stormwater permit and amending Chapter 220 of the Code of the Township of Clinton entitled Sewers and Sewage Disposal. We were already municipally required to have a salt barn and cover our salt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all those regulations. Those are now being extended to everybody under the sun. Again, DEP requirements, so whether we like it or not, here it sits. Questions or comments before we open the public hearing? I'll open the public hearing. Do any members of the public wish to comment on this salt storage ordinance? Seeing no rush for the microphone, I'll close the public hearing, and may I have a motion? Roll call.
Councilman
Yes.
Councilman
Yes.
Mayor
Yes. And last, we have ordinance 1196-2024, an ordinance of the Township of Clinton regulating tree removal and replacement and adopting a new chapter of the Code of the Township of Clinton entitled Tree Removal and Replacement. This is another force-fed ordinance, which we do have some modifications to. I think they help, but I'm not a fan. It is what it is.
Precisely. This is not something that you feel you have to do. This is something you have to do.
Yeah.
And we did try to modify it for review. We spent kind of a lot of time on it, as a matter of fact, going back and forth about different things and what it means and how this applies. So I will make one comment to kind of refer back to something. This is different than our landscape design standards. Those apply to new developments only. This applies to everything in the township.
Yeah,
so they are kind of two different things. Yep. It doesn't mean I don't want to go back and talk about the design standards someday because it's a little bit different. So that's a
That was looked at and discussed in depth, and it is not appropriate for what is necessary, let's put it that way.
This is for every property. That's all for site and subdivision applications. As far as the comment from the previous public comment.
That irrelevant one, because it wasn't made up regarding it anyway.
It's not as clarified to the public, but this applies everywhere at all times versus new developments for the site plan 65 standards.
When we're talking on phone, when I had met the gentleman at the Fountain Motel about replanting, he was discussing his forestry management plan, and I know
it's an exception.
I know, but to, did he or any other person who just buys land like the rest of the lot has a forest management plan?
But I believe with forest management plans, I think they're supposed to.
I'm not unfamiliar. I knew.
I want to say there are some filing requirements regardless, but I.
So it's on. I don't know if it's to the municipality or if it's to the state.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the state.
We'll have to take a look at it and see if it doesn't just exempt them or if they're supposed to submit it.
Yeah.
I mean, they need to present it to support their exemption for sure.
Well, that's right? Correct. So you have to apply.
Has to file and done by forester.
Yeah, you have to apply for the exemption. And so,
how will people know that?
Well, they have to be familiar with the ordinance, is a question I have. We may need to talk about if we want to do a little small article in the newsletter, which I don't really want to do.
Put it on the back of the 200-foot list.
Yeah, I mean, it is something we need to talk about. I mean, it's a state entity, so we're not going to get away from it. But.
Right. No, absolutely. I'm not joking. Yep. I just want to try to
find
a clarification.
I think we'll take this offline and look at it.
Okay.
Yeah. We'll spend all night talking about how to fix it, but it's a good point, and I'll make a note. How to implement. All right. In that case, I will open the floor for the public hearing portion of this ordinance. Nobody? Go once, twice? All right. We'll close the public hearing, and I will ask someone from my left for a motion.
I'll make a motion.
One second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Sillett?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. All right. We'll move now to resolutions. The first is Resolution 2024-94, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton authorizing 2024-2025 Farm Services Concession Agreements for various properties in the township. Kind of touched on it before. We do it every year or two. Any questions, comments?
Just what we've discussed.
May I have a motion?
I'll move.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Sillett?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Then we have Resolution 2024-95. Governing body certification of compliance with the United States. I'm going to add the S title. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission's enforcement guidance on the consideration of arrest and conviction records and employment decisions under Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. That was a mouthful. Comments, questions?
It's an annual certification deal. I have a question for the administrator. Do we need to update our employee manual to talk about this at all, or is it something that's implied just in our practices? You don't have to answer that. You just take it.
I feel like it's statutory, so.
Well, it's statutory, so you do have to have it. Number one, that's correct.
Right.
The point about the manual, I would say that's probably due for review with Trishka and your labor counsel, Mr. Trimboli. It should be looked at every, several years to make sure that it's been. And we have talked about it with Mr. Trimboli that I think this coming year you really should begin the process and have it in place no later than 25 with the updates, just to make sure that you've kept pace with all the changes that are necessary.
Great.
I'll second. Roll call, please.
Councilman Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman Sillett?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Resolution 2024-96, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton authorizing the unclaimed money in the evidence room at the Township Police Department to be deposited into the police township account. It's not a lot of money, but it has to be disposed of. So if there's no questions or comments, I'll make the motion.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Councilman
Glazer?
Yes.
Councilman
Sillett?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Now we have Resolution 2024-97, a resolution of the Mayor and Council of the Township of Clinton approving a request from the Township of Clinton Police Chief to use PMC Associates for Cradle Point products in an amount not to exceed $3,300 and utilizing DEA funds to complete the process through state contract. I'm going to see me in the order now. Number 83900. Chief, you're on a hot seat. You're here. Talk about it.
The critical points are for our cars. They are on top of our cars, some sort of dome. They control all our internet, some contract speed and things of that nature. But we can't run our computers in our cars without the critical points. So that's the service. We got the critical points for free and the service for free for a year. Now we have to pay for the service.
Okay.
So we're paying this year with VA funds. The future will build it into your car.
Yes.
Okay.
That's a good one. VA.
Look, you got me speechless. How often does that happen? Christine's speechless too. Is that any other? Good.
Motion.
And a second. Roll call.
Councilman Lozier.
Yes.
Councilman Silver.
Yes.
Mayor Black.
Yes. Okay, we will move on to resolution number 2024-98, a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton approving a request from the Township of Clinton Police Chief to use Vector Solutions for internal affairs management and performance tracking in an amount not to exceed $4,100 and utilizing DEA funds to complete the process. So, Chief, this is, I assume then, it's a software service that allows you to better manage your IA investigations?
Yeah, we use an antiquated system now with so much emphasis on the internal affairs tracking system. This will actually alert us when there's an early warning situation, like if somebody gets three complaints in a certain amount of time, even though they could be unwarranted or unfounded, you still have to do the early warning. So it just alerts the IA officer that, boom, yeah, you have to do something, whether it's a small little paragraph note to self to say that, you know, we had three complaints or she had three complaints in a month, but they were all unfounded and or it could be more serious than that. So, but and also for performance issues, each supervisor will be able to give their officer a good performance notice or bad performance notice, but they can do it themselves and it goes right into the folder. So it's just a tracking system, so it's just more organized and for everybody to be able to see.
And this is an annual?
Yes, also, this is for accreditation as well.
This is an annual cost,
yes.
I assume. Was there an annual cost for the old system?
The old system we have is outdated, and I don't even think there was a cost.
I was just trying to see if there was.
With the IAPP right now, the new internal affairs policy, it's so convoluted that you have to have something like this to be able to track things.
And it'll make things more efficient for you.
Yes.
It's also against ILE, this one as well as the last one, part of your accreditation process.
Yes.
That's why the chief's bringing it forward for operational departmental efficiencies, but also to achieve compliance with that, the requirements of the accreditation program.
All right. Very good. In that case, may I have a motion?
I'll move.
I'll second. Roll call, please.
Yes.
All right, second to last resolution in our docket here. Resolution 2024-99, a resolution of the mayor and council of the Township of Clinton authorizing members of the public to install and maintain beehives on a specific portion of Windy Acres, Block 7, Lots 18.3, 31.01, and 31.02. We've talked about this before. Any questions, comments?
I would like to think about the wording of the resolutions and the qualifications. I think it's helpful for all of us to talk about why we're doing this, and I think it's because of the educational and environmental benefits. So I'd actually sort of like one of the warehouses to actually say that for posterity's sake. So people understand this is why we're doing it. We have some EIs that are ready. We want to do some more. Because it is part of a broader plan, I think. We want to do the pollinator garden there and having EIs. Well, I have a pollinator garden. We don't have pollinators, I would say. So I would like that. And then sort of consistent with that, and I didn't come with wording tonight because I don't know how to word it, so I'm going to defer to Trisha maybe, is I think in the minimum qualifications we could talk about the educational aspect, because any beekeeper should be have an educational requirement. I'm not going to say it's X number of hours, X number of classes, but we want that educational component as part of qualifications. I understand that they can do it because beekeepers love to do that. And the second one would be, because it's on public space, public open space in particular, we need to, I don't know how to word this, we can't allow people to profit from public open space. So I don't know if it's, I don't know if it's like I don't think it's a nonprofit. I don't know if it's not commercialized. I don't know how to express my thoughts on it. But, you know, it's inappropriate for a member of the public, a volunteer, if you will, to profit from public space. That would not be right to me. But if they're supporting the educational environmental, which is great, and we want them there, but we can't have them growing hives and selling the bees so they could be honey making money, because that's not the intent of the program. That's my two cents.
No, I mean, I think that's...
All right. So I don't think that's something we can do on the fly.
No, I'd rather not, but I have already spoken to Councilman Glazer. I think I have some ideas of how to word it, but my request would be if we could table it tonight, come back on May 8th for a revised resolution.
Okay. Done. May 8th. Easy peasy. It'll be fine. And then we actually are going to knock off some old business, I think. Right, Ms. Helen?
Okay. No new business.
There's no new business. Not that I'm aware of. No business?
No.
I don't got any. And I believe that new business is a resolution of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton regarding IT services. Do I have the resolution? Hang on a second. Or did we do that already? Well, hold on a second. I thought there was something in the box. Hang on a second. I'm just going to pull it. Now it's a different resolution, so hold on. You might have seen it.
Yeah, number 100.
Yep. I have old business. Where is it? Yeah, I got it. So this is resolution 2024-100, a resolution of the mayor and council of the township of Clinton rejecting all responses for CC number 24-02 IT consulting services competitive contract. So essentially, we're going to go and do a do-over.
Yeah, we're going to reject all the bids because we're lending the spec. And you're going to rebid. This gives me the ability to, once you reject all the bids that were received, to rebid, and then you can take them in accordingly. So I get a permission with this resolution to go and take that action if you so desire.
Yep.
Okay.
So I think we just take it off the old business for now, going forward. That's number one. Number two, can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second.
Roll call.
Councilman Lazer?
Yes.
Councilman Smith?
Yes.
Mayor Moore?
Yes. Voila. Now we have public comment for anything and anybody wants to mention, including whatever you... Ms. Gruber, if anything you wish to have said before, you can do now. Okay. Come on down, sir.
My name is Doug Kuda. I live at Skyview.
Just Township, Clinton Township.
Clinton Township.
Which I know.
I was going to comment, you mentioned this spring. About 2 weeks ago, I was running at Cranberry Creek Golf Course there, and I was cooling down, and the guy came in with his big tractor and was going to spray. And fortunately, he was very polite, and he didn't spray until I was basically out, which was good. But when he pushes his arms out, and it must take him maybe 10 minutes, I think, to do the whole field. It was the field right next to the north,
yep.
Where the parking lot is. But I could still smell it after he had started. So probably we should try and discourage people from using it within like
during
a certain period
times.
Of time after
yeah.
it's been sprayed.
Why is spraying right now?
I don't know. He did spray. It was
supposed to smell.
I don't know. He might be fertilizing.
Spray before you plant?
He might have been fertilizing when that was the spray. Yeah. I don't know what it was. It could have been insecticide or herbicide of some yeah. sort. I don't know what it was, yeah. but I know I could smell it. Mm-hmm. So this is something for us just yep. to consider. Okay?
Well noted. Thank you.
Okay?
Yep. Thanks, anybody else? Seeing no movement, I'll look to Mr. Glazer for the most important item of the night. I'll second. Roll call, please.
Yes. Councilman
yes. Mayor
Ryan.
Yes. Thank you all for coming out tonight.
All right, you left.